This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Mitch Teich.
And I'm Bonnie North. The world is facing its worst refugee crisis in recorded history. Millions of people have been displaced by conflicts in Syria, South Sudan, and other countries.
While European nations have been grappling with the influx of people, the U.S. has placed a ban on immigration from many of the countries affected by these conflicts. But the situation that many Syrians face today is not so dissimilar from another crisis we dealt with just two decades ago.
The Bosnian War started in 1992. By the end of it, just 3 years later, more than 100,000 people were dead. Most of them were Bosniaks, victims of a genocide targeting the Muslim ethnic group.
Zijada Beganović was a young child living near Sarajevo at the beginning of the war who later came to live in Lake Geneva, Wisconsin. She spoke with Lake Effect's Joy Powers, who first met Zijada in elementary school. Zijada starts by explaining what she remembers from her early childhood in Bosnia.
As a little kid, I didn't know why we were leaving. I just remember something was wrong and we left. We moved to Germany. My mom, my sister, and I actually left alone without my dad. And I remember coming to the small town. What I know is that what happened in Bosnia is not even just Bosnia, but Serbia and Croatia. Mainly in Bosnia, struggled the most is that the religious differences was what brought this to be a very dirty war and a very sad war. I mean, majority of Bosnians had to leave because of the danger of the war, right? So if you were Muslim, I have friends and actually even neighbors. My mom used to say her neighbor was Serbian, and every day they would see each other. They would perhaps even have coffee in the morning, because that's a cultural thing. Hanging out with friends, having coffee, morning, night, it's just part of culture, being social and seeing people. And she said things got really strange when the war was just about to begin. People who were friends, Serbians, for example, and Bosnians, would stop talking to each other. So a lot of the religious stuff interfered and people stopped being friends. And everyone started turning towards one path. So if you were Serbian, they turned to Serbia because that was probably their safe zone too, right? I mean, if you try to help a Bosnian Muslim, you might not make it through the war.
So when the war started, about how old would you have been?
So the war, I remember actually as a little girl, we were outside. My mom was hanging up the clothes on those, what do you call them, where you...
Oh, clothesline?
Yes. She was hanging clothes up, and I remember those fast military planes. I remember one flying over us, and I was just thinking, that was really loud. I know things got kind of scary, early 92, and we left in August of 92. So I was 4.5. My sister Jenny was 2. And we got very lucky because we were able to get out. If anyone waited, later on during that time, it was very hard to leave. Many people were stuck. If not, they wanted to stay because that's their country, that's their home, they wanted to fight. But my mom and my dad chose to leave for the safety of us, the girls.
You said that you and your mom fled, you, your mom, and your sister all fled first. Why did your dad stay longer?
I think a lot of the men had to stay to support, right? The Bosnian military. I don't know 100% to why. I know he had to for some reason. Never really asked. People don't really like to talk about the past, especially the ones that are older and know exactly what happened. It's something that's not very talked about, unfortunately.
Now, do you remember fleeing to Germany? Do you remember that trip at all?
I do. It's really weird because thinking about it, even now, I can just close my eyes and remember parts of it. But being so young, sometimes I wonder, how am I remembering this kind of stuff? Is it because of how dramatic it might have been? Or is it just my brain wanted me to remember? But I know there's few memories that I have. For example, my parents actually built a house. We finished it. We were just about to move in. beautiful home. It's still there now. It took some time to fix it, but right before we were moving in, my parents were deciding to leave, and things were getting really bad. So where our house was, it was in a smaller village outside of the town, more secluded. My dad's parents grew up there. And I remember being at our cousin's weekend house, she used to call it, and just watching out the window, just seeing black smoke. And where our house is, there's a giant field of grass. I mean, it's so beautiful. And then you have the mountains that you can see from the balcony, for example. And I remember our mom having to figure out how to get to the road, which was past the field and some trees. And she said that we ran through those fields not knowing if you're going to get shot from the soldiers that are behind you up in the mountains. So that was a challenge because you didn't know where the soldiers were. You couldn't see them. You know, they took advantage of the trees and the forest, and you just run and you hope that you don't get hit by a freaking bullet. And I do remember we were in this car that picked us up. This guy, the driver, thought that my mom was a friend of his. Apparently she looked like someone he knew who was Serbian. And he kept talking to her, just having this conversation. I remember my sister and I, we were in a back seat on the bottom, underneath, like under the seats, just trying to be protected, just in case someone started shooting at the car. And I remember them talking, but she told me fully the story that he was assuming he knew her. And she never said she wasn't that person. He got us back into town where we were living in an apartment. So that was weird. That was probably scary for her, not knowing, like, what if he finds out? What's he gonna do? You know, you just don't know. But I remember the bus ride out of Bosnia to Germany. So we ended up getting on a bus to leave. And I remember one part of this drive, I was looking out the window, and while I looked out the window, there's half a person in a ditch and half a person on the side of the road. Same person, just two pieces. I'll never forget that. And I asked my mom about it, and she just didn't know what to say. Like, how am I supposed to know that? How is she supposed to explain that? And then everything after that was kind of blurry. I remember we finally got to some European town. I don't remember where, it might have been Austria. And we were just sitting outside. And then finally we got to Germany.
How long were you in Germany?
Let's see, from 92 until 99. What is that, 7 years?
So you were in Germany a while.
Technically, my childhood, I grew up in Germany. And then my teenage years, I grew up here in the U.S. So Germany was very open to bringing in refugees, especially Bosnian refugees, and they opened their doors, which was amazing because there were so many of us who were trying to leave and protect ourselves and survive. But around, I think like 98 is when Germany was ready to send the refugees back home because things got better and they took us in to help us out. But then, like, now you're okay, right? Now your countries are back to somewhat stable and please go home. So we had the choice to either go home or come to the U.S. And my mom couldn't resist coming here. She's like, it's America, right? It's the land of the dreams, and how can you not take that opportunity? Because why would you go back home when your home's destroyed? There's nothing there. People are poor. Like, it's still sad over there. Like, it's getting better, but there's so much poverty there still.
When you look back at your time in Germany, as someone who was a refugee, how do you process that time?
Honestly, I think about this all the time, and my sister and I talk about it too, and even my friend Isla. It's just like something that comes up in a conversation all of the time, and to me, it feels like it's a different world. When I look back, I'm like, is that my childhood? I think about it like, am I dreaming? Was that just a dream? It doesn't feel like it's my life because I've had my 4 years in Bosnia and then my few years in Germany and then here. I feel like my life was just like taken apart in different pieces. And the past is just someone's story, someone's movie, and I'm just looking back at it and thinking, oh yeah, it doesn't feel real. I don't know if that answers your question. It's a really weird thing to think about. And like, I have to say that being young in Germany too, you had kids who didn't really accept you for being a refugee. They used to tease you, and there's, in German it's called Ausländer, which it's not the nice, it wasn't a nice word for anyone to call you. And some kids weren't accepting of you being different and coming to their country. So you had those challenges as a young kid, right? Like trying to fit in. And you find other kids who you fit in because they're a different culture.
Now, what was it like when you came to the U.S.?
Scary, only because I watch so many American movies and saw tornadoes all the time. I always say this, man, I remember the sky was pink the first like few days when we got here. And I was like, you guys, there's going to be a tornado. And my cousins, Lana and Dado, like, no, 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 this is Lake Geneva. It's going to be fine. But I remember the drive home from the airport, just like the highway was so big. There's so much space. And because even in Germany, you had a lot of forest around you, a lot of mountains, right? Valleys. And one thing that I always found weird to me was that the blocks, the resident blocks, were squared, right? I never saw that before. So like riding my bike one day, I fell because I didn't know how to turn a corner from one side to the other. And I don't know, it was a different feeling coming here. It didn't feel real. And I imagine America to be so different from what it actually is.
You already had family in Lake Geneva, but did you feel like people treated you differently because you're nodding your head, yes?
Most definitely. I mean, Lake Geneva, as some of you might know, is a very small, I would say conservative town. And I don't think kids knew when I came to school, right, sixth grade, I don't think kids knew what a refugee was, what war meant, what anything like that really meant. All they knew was clothes and hanging out with friends, and I did not feel like I was accepted. I found that to be very challenging all throughout middle school and high school too. It was just, you're different, right? One of my history classes, I think it was in high school, there was like two pages, maybe three, about the Bosnian War. That's all, right? And kids still don't understand who you are and why you're different. I tried to avoid telling people what my religion was, only because I didn't feel comfortable. How they would react, or there are so many perceptions about religions, and especially Muslim, right? If someone being Muslim, they might be a terrorist. Like, no, that's not necessarily true. You're just not educated about what these religions are. There's this one example in high school. I don't know if this is... So remember Sparky? Our art teacher.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember Sparky.
I loved him. He called me his angel. He was my favorite teacher on earth. And there's this project that we had for a photography class. He wanted to have us take pictures of, like, something pure, right? So I remember asking my mom, I'm like, do you think it would be too much or just taking it too far by taking pictures of myself or someone taking a picture of me with the hijab on? Right? And she's like, no, that's who you are. You should be okay with that. And whatever kids say, that's on them, right? Like, this is who you are. So I did that. And the pictures turned out to be very beautiful, right? It showed who I am. I'm not just Ziada with the brown hair and this teenage girl. I'm actually in also another, that was like another part of me. And there are some kids that end up taking some of those photos that were hanging up in class and writing bad things on them. They wrote terrorist and some other things like that. And to kind of just be like, whatever, I laughed with them, not thinking like, no, what the hell, man? Like, I didn't stand up for myself. I laughed about it and then I took it home and I was like, what the hell? Then a few years later, I'm like, why did I do that? Was I not confident enough like to stand up for who I am? Or did I just want to fit in with the others? I didn't realize like how bad that was for someone to do. And I hope that person and those people one day understand that that's not okay. You can't judge people based on what they look like. You need to know them as a person and then judge them if you want to. But know the facts. Don't just judge people.
With all the recent restrictions on, well, visas largely and immigration from a number of different Muslim-majority countries, how do you feel about traveling right now? Does that freak you out a little?
Well, when I first found out that he was our president, Trump, I just freaked out because I'm thinking, well, I still have my green card. And many were like, why don't you have a U.S. passport yet? Why aren't you a citizen? I'm like, I still am. I'm still a permanent resident. I still have all the rights except of voting. And it doesn't mean that I'm not trying to be an American citizen. I'm still a proud American citizen. That's who I am. I live here. This is my new country, right? My home. And I freaked out because I'm thinking, well, hell, I'm Muslim. I'm from Bosnia. I'm sure at some point this country will come up in the conversations. And even now, before Trump, when I did travel, every time I came back home here, I was questioned. It always blew my mind. Like, why? You're like, they're asking you all these questions. Where did you go? Why did you go? Why did you stay so long? Where do you work? What do you do? Like, where do you live? Like, all these details. And then I see other people just walking through. The other time I traveled, actually last year, coming back, I was so-called detained. They took me to the other office, and I had to sit there, and they had to verify my documents even further. And I just sat there. I'm thinking, what the hell? I didn't do anything. I have no criminal record. I work. I have a degree, right? I went and got an education. I pay my taxes. And here I am, still being questioned for why I left this country. Is it because my passport says Bosnia? I don't know. But trying to leave now to go on a trip, I don't know. Like, it's nervous. It's nerve-wracking thinking about it, because what if they say, no, you can't come in, and I have to go back? It could happen. I hope it doesn't, but I don't know. That's the thing.
Is there anything else that you would want people to know about your experience as a refugee and your continuing experience as an immigrant here?
I mean, like, we didn't choose to leave, right? We didn't choose to be kicked out of our home because of political reasons. We're, again, just like American kids and people live here, we also want just to live our life. We want to have a family. We want to be happy. We want to be healthy. And we don't want to be causing harm to anyone. So we're not here to take resources away, right? Not just me. We got resources in the beginning. We got support. But then we got on our feet and created this life that we can now give back to others. So don't judge people, right, based on who they are and where they come from. Get to know them, and if anything, get to know the facts of who they are and such, because every person has their own story, and what the media might say about one country or one religion doesn't mean it's true with the people around you.
Well, Ziada, thank you so much for speaking with me.
Thank you. This was great.
Ziada Boganovic is a graduate of UW-Milwaukee and a Bosnian refugee. She spoke with Lake Effect's Joy Powers about her experience emigrating to the United States almost 20 years ago.